Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben hello.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
The four of you take off down the street following Marvum. He's pushing out of the way, saying, move, move, get out of the way, get out of the way.
I think I have my shield out. Margaret is Mark of the Sentinel. And so she just puts the shield out and plants it down so he runs directly into it.
Oh, God!
Didn't mean to interrupt you. I think we've got a couple questions for you.
Hey! So Lex now.
Yes, Lex is my name now.
So you want to meet your, you want to meet your creator?
Yes. I want to know why I was made.
Well, you were made as an experiment.
But for no purpose, just to see if he could do it? Is he evil? He's evil, right?
No,
I mean, he's
no,
got to be
no,
evil.
I mean, he sounds a little
no,
evil.
It's pretty
no,
evil
don't,
plan.
Don't. Look, not, he's not evil. He was trying out some things because he was getting in good with this guy who, you know, I told him he was kind of evil.
You see a scene play out in front of you. He sent you off. And he runs back to his chamber, closes and locks the door behind him. He begins writing a note. The door bursts open behind him, and in behind them almost floats a dark elf with long white hair. Small smile, a smirk comes across this dark elf's face.
Well, my friends, I feel like my work here is... now I think only just beginning. I need to find this Thelonious Prims and get justice.
Well, I'm in. I don't know about you others.
Oh, I'm happy to help.
Yes, this person seems to command just the type of thing I am, well, still kicking around to deal with.
Well, Lex or Lee or Granger or whatever your name might be tomorrow... where to next?
I think we need to leave this place and go back to that town and get some more information.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him, and with me today, Carla Maxted.
She, her. Tonight I am playing Lexington, a human fighter slash paladin, he, him.
Tom Laird as well.
He, him, and tonight I'm playing Perseus, a Lightfoot halfling warlock who also goes by he, him.
And joining us again, if you haven't noticed, we're in Lex's story, which that means that Rev from the Crit Show is back.
He, him, I am here playing Margaret Broadcloak, the human monster hunter, she, her.
Rev, it's a delight to have you back.
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
welcome
being
back,
here.
Rev.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Excited.
I was looking at it like, when did we last play this game? Because like, it was pretty fresh in my mind because it was a memorable game.
It was
lots
a long
of fun.
Time ago.
It was
like,
almost
God,
one
it's almost
year
a
ago.
Year.
I know. I just looked at my notes and it was like, oh, this is like 11 months ago this happened.
Oh, back in the olden days when there used to be other people in the world, not just floating
it's
heads
true.
On screens.
Mm, true, it was yeah. like, I think we recorded probably like that week, like 2 days later, the whole world shut down.
It's back wild. In the before times.
Exactly.
That's why it's so fond in our mind. But there's been a lot that's happening over this year, and you have another project or an expanded project with the Crit Show that you have kind of going on that we would love to share with our audience here, Rip.
Yeah. We have just started a weekly Twitch series Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. For about 2.5 hours, we have brought on 6 different game masters, and over the course of the next year, they are all going to run a 8-session story in the game of their choosing, the game that they had pitched in their audition. So by the time this comes out, we will have announced it. So we are playing Ghostbusters International. We're playing a Star Wars game. We're playing Masks, New Generation. We're playing all kinds of independent and powered by the apocalypse games.
That sounds very cool. We'll link all of the Twitch and all of the Crit Show's information down in the description. Go check it all out and hang out in some of those streams because that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Where you can get in on some live streams with just us being goons and goofballs is over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you join us, you get an episode dedicated to you as well. Like today's patron, Bald Mouse.
Is this like take on Dead Mouse? What's happening
here?
Yeah,
I really...
Or like an industrial accident or...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. B-A-A-L-D-M-A-U-S-S. So yeah. Bald
Sounds like
mouse.
Bald Mouse.
I like it when it is non-English, just normal names because... Russ is like going so strong. Here goes.
Yep. His face is great.
He steers into the skit. It's delightful.
It's good. He goes, he powers right into it, and I admire it.
So patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'd love to have you over there. And now fuck it. Let's play. It's been about a month since we last met up with Lex, Perseus, Margaret, and Arvid in their last adventure tracking down Nicoreal, Lex's creator, to find out why Lex was created. Your journey sent you to the town of Glickfast, where you met an old acquaintance in Marvum Dundlefoot, a courier of Nicoreal's, who led you to Nicoreal's workshop. There you found mixed emotions in Nicoreal having had experimented on these deceased or undead entities, trying to bring them back to life. Lex, it appeared that you were the only one who Nicoreal had managed to bring to life and give a full life back to. While there, you had come across an illusory scene, left almost as an implanted memory in this space of Nicoreal's workshop, having been attacked by a sinister-looking dark elf and a battalion of what could only be described as his soldiers. Within this space, you came across a letter that Nicoreal had written and addressed to Lee. This letter had been badly damaged and burned, but you could make out one nearly full name and other part names. The letter read, "To Lee, Thelonious Prims, a series of hash marks, the beginning of another name, J-Y-S-E, another name, M-O-R-D-E, and a final name before the page was torn off, V-A-R. Having collectively decided in that moment that the new goal was to find this Thelonious Prims and or the Dark Elf depicted in the illusory memory, the four of you set off in search of anything or anyone you could find to help track this person down. Your journey for the last month has led you across the Sword Coast, following lead after lead, trying to track down this mystery man who seemingly has left no trail except half-stories and misremembered events. Marvum believed he heard the name from a black market dealer in Glickfest. That name was Vafrit Greystone, a smooth young dwarf dealing in organs and illicit drugs in the underbelly of the city of Glickfest. Marvum leads you there, through the city and knocks on the door. There's a grinding metal slider that opens up and like a deep red light coming from within. Marvum gives the password quietly at the door and it swings open and he leads you in, and there's rows and rows of these poorly dressed younger dwarves and humans packaging up different items. They lead you back through this dingy and musky filled room to an office at the back. The door opens and Marvum steps in.
Vafrit, hey, friend, I brought some people here. They're looking for a person, maybe. Maybe you might have heard. I thought you mentioned the name. Maybe one of you threes take it. And I just here to just make sure that you know they're on the up and up, and nobody's trying to just swindle anybody here. Okay.
Vafrit straightens himself up at his desk. He's a very broad-built dwarf, older. He has long, like, gnarled hair, black hair, speckled with gray throughout it. He's got a scar that cuts right across his face over his mouth.
Well, who are you and what's name you're looking for?
My name is Lex, and we're looking for several people. We just have scraps to go on, but the most complete name is Thelonious Prims. Does that seem familiar to you?
Oh, maybe it does. What's in it for me to remember a name?
Well, we can offer some compensation. We can offer services. Depends on the value of the name and the kind of information you have.
Thelonious, you say. That's the name?
Yes.
Yeah, it might spark a ring or two of where I might have heard that name. Could give you a location of a possible lead. Is that what they say in the hunting down people business?
I look at Margaret. That's her business. She'd know the terminology.
Lead, I suppose, is what you could call it.
Perfect. Well, it's been a while since I heard the name, but might give you a place to start. You seem like fine, interesting people.
Well, we are. We have business with this person.
Okay. Well, I got Let's put it this. I've got to get some of my goods transferred to, actually, to the location.
Where's actually?
You're funny, little man. I've got some goods that need to go down to a city that could be in the proximity of this lead that I have.
Well, that seems like pretty good luck for us.
Does, doesn't it?
Yes, what amazing coincidence.
Also, what's the last name? Because I don't think it's just Prims, but, like, do you know the rest of it, or do I have to guess it?
I don't know the
Prims Wheel.
Full name.
Prims Sky. Prims Blossom. Tell me if I'm getting close.
Look, I've heard the first name. Thelonious is,
I mean, it's not a super common name, so.
It's not. It popped up a couple times, a year or so ago.
Prims Buckle.
Arvid just puts his hand on Perseus' shoulder.
Just give it a moment.
I thought it would be fun to guess.
You're doing a great job.
Well, okay, thanks, Arvid.
So question out of game. When you were describing what we saw when we walked in my mind, what I saw is like in every movie where you go into where they're putting drugs they're like, together and everyone yeah. is just in their yeah. underwear. Is that what it was
yeah.
like?
So basically, yeah, like, yeah, it's all drugs, and there are sealed containers
mm-hmm.
With unknown things, but, like, they look like coolers.
Neat.
If, you know, a cooler in a medieval fantasy
yeah,
world.
Yeah, totally, totally. Mm, yeah.
Picture that, That's what they look like.
Great.
Like a very tiny ice elemental just hugging something.
yes.
Just yes, blood running exactly. down its chest.
Well, it went from cute to disturbing very quickly.
Yeah, it took a real turn.
I had a life once.
Well, how... What's the volume of these goods you need? Do we need a wagon? It's something we can carry. Can you give us some logistical answers of where we might be going and what we might be taking?
He flips a couple pages open in a ledger on his desk. He says, it's nothing. It's, the satchel you carry in there could easily fit inside of that. High value, though.
Well, and I look at my friends. I'm on board. I want to find this person that destroyed Nicoreal, so... You guys in?
Oh, you don't even have to ask. Of course, Lex.
Yes, is looking around the room at all of the people, like, packing up boxes and stuff. You know, you said that they were dressed very shabbily. What kind of condition are they in? Like, physically, like, their health, their...
Many of them appear malnourished. Tired would be a good descriptor. It's quite warm in the... there's a good heat coming throughout this room. Some of them do appear to be showing signs of dehydration.
Yes, I suppose anything to ease our journey and give some respite to the folks working here. If there's a couple other items you've got to take, if it means that... Well... Everyone here gets to have a little bit of a rest, or maybe you don't have to send quite as many runners.
Yeah, everybody's treated very well here. Many complaints. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that right? You just hear, yeah.
I'm not feeling great about this.
Maybe they could be singing like some sort of, you know, sea shanty or workman's song in the background to increase productivity.
I've been working on the railroad, slinging body parts.
See, it all comes together.
Selling hearts and livers, I'll be home before...
It's dark?
I start, mm-hmm. It's dark. Ah, good one. Yeah.
But Freet, maybe you could give us a moment just to confirm amongst ourselves.
Sure.
New tasks, want to consult with the group, you understand.
Of course. Take your time. Do you need the room? I gotta go do the rounds anyways. You know, you just take the room. I'll be right back.
Oh, that's very polite of you. Thank you.
Yeah. He gets up and he walks by and pushes by and says, yeah, I'll just be back in a couple minutes. Don't you worry. Closes the door.
So I'd like to know where this Thelonious character is, but this whole place is not... This is not great. We can agree on that.
Yes.
No, very much so.
Yeah, I don't feel wonderful about just walking away from what is clearly seems like a bad situation. Do you think we should try to help?
I mean, if we go to dark ends to find an answer to the things you're trying to solve, we may not like what we become in the end.
Yes, we don't want to become the terrible monsters we're chasing, right? We want to...
Yes.
Retain our humanity, for lack of a better word.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we'd hate to be a real Prim's bottom.
So close, Perseus.
I'll keep workshopping it.
Yeah, Prim's. Could be Prim's. I don't even know where to go with this.
Yes, Primstein.
That's probably what it is. He's probably. A Steen or a Stein.
It was nice they didn't have to change it at Ellis Island.
Fantasy Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, what are we saying? Are we saying burn this motherfucker to the ground, Lex?
Arvid, so forceful. Just exactly what I would expect from you, and I like it. If we were going to burn this mother down, I'd want to get all of those... poor wretches out there out first.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if possible, the information from our friend. Perhaps he comes back in, we give him a few knocks, get what we need out of him, and, as you said, burn this mother down.
Did he have, there was like a security person that brought us in to see him, or what's, how's, other than these poor, starving, sad working people, what do defenses look like?
As you entered, there were two guards at the door, mm-hmm. Both heavier set, armed dwarven males. One of them led you back to Vafrit's room. You didn't see many others. No, you wouldn't have seen any others walking back through the main room there. So as far as you've seen, two armed guards plus the main boss guy.
Well, we could always just say, sure, give us the information, give us the package, and we'll head out, and then turn on him, rather than trying to beat it out of him. So hard to rely on information you get from torture.
Ooh, yeah, we could give him like an ultimatum after he gives us the information, like, shut it down or we burn it down. And we'll find Primstone ourselves.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes people will say whatever they need to when they're under duress.
It's true. All right. Well, that's as much of a plan as we ever have, so...
The door swings open. Well, done the rounds. Does it give you enough time? Sorry, I didn't mean to start it there.
No, it's your office, of course. Come and go as you please. I think we've decided that we'd like the information about Thelonious, and we're willing to carry your valuable package for you.
Seems pretty straightforward. You came to the conclusion that the information was worth the journey.
I think so.
You want to roll deception?
Sure. I'm probably bad at that. Let's see. That was 14.
Okay. Well, it seems like a pretty straight trait then.
Great. And where's this package you need us to take, and where are we going?
Goes back over to his desk and again flips to a different page in his ledger and says, well, Thelonious, okay. Thelonious, I heard it a few times through some different market channels of folks looking for bits and bobs. You know, that's what we call it in the business. Last I heard, the Hand of Yartar was doing business with him. Easy place to go missing.
Did anyone else think when he mentioned a hand that it belonged to a person?
I assumed. Is that the name of a place?
Oh, yes, sorry. The Hand of Yartar is an organization of a fractious thieves' guild made up entirely of women in the city of Yartar. So, where you can generally find them and where I need you to deliver certain goods is to their home base, the tavern called Wink and a Kiss.
In Yartar.
In Yartar.
All right.
Does this seem on the level, what he's saying?
You can roll an insight.
Okay.
Or, I guess, yeah, insight or history, depending on what kind of, if you're trying to just get his feel or, like, actual world information.
Insight would be a 19.
You feel like he's being completely honest, as honest as he can be. If you do want to roll, if anybody does want to roll history, you can see if you've heard of this Thieves Guild or of the tavern. I would say that Margaret for sure. Maybe not Lex, but Arva definitely
like me and
would
Perseus have very limited knowledge of the world.
Well, I was a rat for a while.
Margaret and Arvid would definitely have knowledge of the city of Yartar. So the city itself exists. If you want further information on the guild and its makeup, and if it does exist, then you can roll a history. But as far as you are concerned, it does appear that he's being straightforward and as honest as he feels he needs to be with this transaction.
Okay. History would be an 18.
So you know that the Hand of Yartar is, in fact, a thieves guild. One that hasn't reached much, a large amount of notoriety throughout the land. There was a lot of infighting throughout the beginning, so it's taken them a long time to kind of get things working. But they do operate out of Yarter and have been known in some circles to deal in similar illicit goods.
Yeah, I will just kind of give a little glance to Lex and give a short nod.
All right, then we will be off to Yarter as soon as you give us what it is we need to take.
Of course. Hey, bring it in. And one of the guards, followed by another man who you didn't recognize the first time you came in. He's a large-built human man. He's carrying a few packages, I guess is probably a better word, of materials, and one of the ice elementals. This is it. Just a couple packages. It's got to go to Uzumaki, current leader of the Hand of Yarter. They're expecting it. She'll know you're coming. You just tell her that Vafrit sent you, and you've got the goods. She also should have some information on your Thelonious.
Great, thank you. And I go to take the packages.
They freely give them to you.
I don't feel prepared for what is about to happen, but that's okay. I feel like Lex feels a lot. A lot of empathy, a lot of feeling, not a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, more heart-driven than head-driven. So he's going to take the packages and put them in his bag. And then he's going to draw his greatsword.
Hey, what's going on here?
What is going on here? What are you doing to those poor people out there?
Running a business here, friend. I'd be careful with swinging that around.
I don't know that I will be. Those people don't seem to want to be here, to be well treated by you at all.
Everything okay out there? See, it's all good.
Yeah, that wasn't the overwhelming happy workforce I'd like to see in a manufacturing facility.
That just sounded like you throwing your voice out the door.
Well, I did want to be a ventriloquist in a past life. So what's the plan here? You're gonna swing your sword around? Knock us out, maybe take us out. You know, there's somebody else in line.
Well,
just fill the void in behind it.
Maybe. But you're standing right in front of me, and I don't like you very much. I'm gonna swing at him.
Okay.
Here we go, y'all.
Yeah. We'll swing, and then we'll roll initiative.
Okay. 26.
Jesus, fuck.
Seems like that'll do it.
Okay.
He was called Beefy Boy, recall. He's a large creature.
True, he was known as Beefy Boy for a while.
He's a big, strong guy.
Okay, yeah, swing away.
It's 14 damage.
You swing out, and immediately as it cuts into him, where do you aim for here?
I feel like maybe I was inspired by all this hand talk, and I'm trying to chop off one of his hands.
Sure, yeah. Let's say, okay, Vafrit's got his hands, like, on his desk. So, with a 26 and 14 damage, pick your hand.
What hand was he using to, like, hand us things with,
right,
or gesture
Do
with?
Can I roll insight to see which hand dominant he is?
I'll give it to you. He was more gestured with his right.
Great, then he doesn't really maybe think I'm so serious, but I'm mad. So I just swing that big old sword right through his wrist. Sever his hand.
It swings through, like, glides through like butter, and he doesn't move because he's trying to call your bluff at this point. And then he looks down, and, like, his arm drops to the table, and he lets out, like, this guttural scream. Get him! And I'll need you to roll initiative.
That seems fair.
I mean, I feel like it's well earned.
19.
11.
I was really worried I'd roll really low and have started this fight and then be like, see the guys later.
Arvid got a 12. What's Margaret got?
18.
Okay, Lex, you're up first. So you've got two guards behind you. You just hear them begin to rush towards you. You didn't notice any visible like longswords or anything like that. But they're rushing towards you. Vafrit's in front of you, bloody stump pouring down over his desk and floor at this point.
Yeah, I feel like I have at least momentarily distracted Vafrit, so I'm going to spin around and attack one of the guards with my sword. I don't do a great job. It's a 13.
13 does not hit.
Do I? Oh, God. Who cares? I have like 1,000 attacks. Forgot 3 attacks at this guy. 15? These are bad rolls, you guys.
15 does not hit.
16?
Third time's the charm.
16 does hit.
Okay.
Yeah. We found it.
Jeez.
Process of elimination.
But that's good. That's almost max damage. That is 11 plus 4 is 15 damage.
Okay, you got two guys coming at you, one on your left, one on your right. Which one do you go for?
Probably the one on the right.
Okay. You turn and swing back and cut into him, and he lets out a yell and falls to the ground, bleeding heavily. Margaret, the second guard is still rushing towards Lex at this point. You hear commotion out in the main area. You see a lot of the workers, for lack of a better term, kind of look towards the door. And you see one more guard rushing from the front where you came in.
I'm going to draw my shield and step in front of Lex in between her and the other charging guard. I'm going to look at them and say, your boss is right. When this is all over, someone will have to take over. If it's someone who does it the way we like it, I'd very carefully consider your next action. It could be you.
Okay. Are you looking to persuade or intimidate? What do you...
I think it's persuade because I think he's right. Like, mm-hmm. someone will fill this in. Mm-hmm. But if they were doing it in a way that didn't piss us off so much, at least that would be something.
All right. Roll persuasion.
Natural 20.
Even they realize Margaret is such a fucking badass. They're so convinced.
This hulking tree trunk of a man stops before this little old lady who's given him a stern talking to, and he stops, and he's like in serious contemplation at this point. Like, he's no longer moving aggressively, but you can see like the slow gears kind of kick into place.
As he is stopped there, I'll even just say, why don't you step aside and think about it for a moment and let us deal with this?
he takes a few steps over to a chair in the corner, and he's thinking about it. Vafrit's like, what are you doing? Hit her! She's little!
He's getting a promotion.
It's Vafrit's turn, and he reaches below his desk and pulls out a crossbow and points it at you, Lex.
Seems fair.
But did he reach with his stump hand?
He reaches with his stump hand once, and he's like,
Oh, man.
Got me again! And then reaches with his good hand, so he's going to roll with disadvantage for being non-dominant here. Nat 20 and a 5.
So close, Vafrit.
Yeah, 5 plus 4 is 9. That probably doesn't hit.
No, that won't hit.
A bolt goes wide over your head and into the wall behind you. You hear the guard that's running up. He's yelling out to someone. You don't know who out there. It's Arvid's turn. Well, should I do something dangerous?
Yes, please. Or help the people out there. Up to you.
Oh, okay. He goes and he steps to the door towards the guard that's running towards him. And he's going to cast... that's dangerous. Yeah, let's do that. He's going to cast a spell called Negative Energy Flood.
Ooh,
oh,
do
boy,
tell.
That sounds fun.
You send ribbons of negative energy at one creature you can see within range of 60 feet. Unless the target is undead, it must make a con saving throw. Which it rolls a 2. He rolls a 2, so he does not make that. Or he takes 5d12 necrotic damage.
This is Arvid, like, weaponizing that general creepy feeling that he gives everyone, except for this crew that seems on board with him, but...
So that is 25 damage, which does kill the guard. A target killed by this damage rises up as a zombie at the start of your next turn. The zombie pursues whatever creature it can that is closest to it. Oops.
Oh, no.
I did it. Did you see? Look. And you just see, like, these tendrils of like, black energy, like, sapping the life out of this guard who falls to the ground. It's like, I did something cool.
That was pretty cool. Maybe you'll have to show me that one later, Arvid.
Yeah, this is going to be one to keep, I think. Perseus, it's your turn.
I am going to throw a bunch of Eldritch Blasts towards Vafrit.
Okay.
I've got 4 of them, so I'm going to make ranged attack spells.
Please do.
All right, first one's a 25.
Yep.
Second one's a nat 20.
Okay.
Third one's a 24.
Uh-huh.
And another 24 for the fourth one.
Okay, well, all of those hit.
Perfect. Okay, here we go. Ooh. It's lots of D10s. I should have grabbed more D10s, which is not something I usually have to say.
No, I also feel like there's been a lot of nat 20s rolled.
So far, yeah.
Like, not all of them able to be used, but still.
24 force damage.
Blast into him. And he gets knocked back and into, like, this bookshelf that just crumbles, and he like just slumped down on the ground, groaning. But he's not dead yet. Lex, it's your turn.
Okay, so can you clarify where everyone's at? One's turned into a zombie that hadn't made it into the room yet.
Yeah, we don't know that they've turned into a zombie yet, right. But that will happen on Arvid's next turn.
Okay.
Perfect.
Vafrit got blasted backwards from his desk, so he's in the room still in front of you. Mm-hmm. One of the guards, Margaret, gave a stern talking to and is sitting in a chair, just thinking hard. Mm-hmm. One guy's behind you. The guy who got Arvidized, it called to someone who hasn't shown up yet.
Okay. I think I'm going to just attack Vafrit again.
Okay.
That's a 13. That's a 20. That's a 22.
The 20 and 22 hit.
Great. It's 25 damage.
Tell me how you kill Vafrit.
I think as like a parts person myself, I just chop his head off. I don't know. I feel like I'm okay with just taking body parts apart.
Yeah, I was going to say, already took the hand.
Just chop his head off and turn and look at the guy that's sitting and thinking and say, all we want is good conditions for your workers. Something to consider. Death for you, or breaks and fair compensation. Something to think about.
As you say that, another human male comes like running around the corner. He's in armor, like head to toe, and he's got a great sword and a mace, and he's swinging the mace, and he looks at the scene, and he pauses. Looking at like the massacre before him, and the guy in the chair looks at him. It's just gives him the just maybe not today sign just across his neck. He stops swinging it and kind of puts it down. Says, "Everything okay in here?"
I think maybe you're under new management.
Okay.
Star wipe.
Cut to a new scene, knowing that
everyone is happy, well compensated, and can go pee as much as they want during their shift.
Much as they want. No more puddles. It's all good. Whew. Okay. So taking Vafrit's information. Oh, yeah, there was a zombie there. What'd you do with the zombie?
I was going to ask, have we seen this before? Is this the first time that Arvid has done this?
Good question.
There wasn't a lot of battle collectively. I think it would have been the first time that you would have seen that. So let's cut back. The guard's like, yeah, okay, cool. Yep. Lots of pee breaks. Good. And then you hear like this groaning of the zombie standing up, and he begins moving towards that armored guard.
I think I just draw my Mace of Disruption and walk around behind the guard and hit it as it approaches.
Yeah, it's not hard to hit and doesn't have a lot of hit points. You connect and it like explodes out into the room and falls to the ground.
Just remember, we'll check back in here to make sure things are going well, and well, that could be you.
Okay.
Is it Primsby?
Hey, it's the middle.
It's the middle. It's the lightest middle.
It is.
It's just a.
It's the happiest, so sunshiniest, good. Rainbowiest middle.
Nothing bad happens in the middle.
So pleasant in here. Yeah. It's like a nice warm bath.
It's the inside of a Twinkie, you guys. It's fluffy. It's
one of those
sweet.
Fleece blankets that you just like wrap around yourself.
Oh, but then aren't you the middle?
It's nice.
Yeah, you're in
welcome
the delicious
to the middle.
Middle.
Yeah, you're in the middle. Hey,
you
everybody.
You are the middle.
Glad to have you here listening to this episode with us. We had a couple weeks off. Hopefully you enjoyed that Q&A that we dropped for you. We answered all of your questions. If you ever have questions, just send them to us. But what we want to tell you about is this great goal we've got going on in this cool spot called patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when we hit 85 patrons, we're going to hang out in one of those video chat things where you can come and hang out too and give us suggestions and guide us through an adventure in an unscripted fashion.
Much like how we record all of our adventures.
Yeah, but with your input, not ours.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hold
it will
on,
go much better.
Hold on. Russ just made it sound like we script any of this.
We don't.
That we do. We
oh,
do not.
I see.
No.
An important clarification. Yeah. This is all just flying off the top of the dome. And what we're saying is, please give us better domes to come up with ideas on the top.
Let us use your dome.
Our dome.
Please.
Yeah. That's yeah.
We're gonna call it Thunderdome.
It's the Thunderdome goal. I like it.
I like it.
So I like it a lot.
We're a little ways away from our next goal, which is 85 patrons, where we're going to play this super awesome improv game with our patrons. And we can't wait for you to be there. So come join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast and we'll see you over there. Okay? Thank you. Have a great day. And now...
Okay, brace yourself. We're about to exit the middle.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not as bad as you think.
Exactly.
So, taking the information you got from Vifreek, you make your way down hopping caravans until you reach a guide to take you up the River Deserin. All in totaling a solid 10 day to navigate the trails and rapids before the river splits off heading toward Yartar. You dock in the city's small port and make your way through the bustling city until you find the tavern, Wink and a Kiss. You head inside and make your way to the bartender, who is a young human woman. She has long curly brown hair, brown eyes, and her skin is a deep brown tan. Beneath her sleeves, you see line art tattoos creeping up from her arms and out under her long sleeves, and she sees you approach and calls to you and says, you're new around here? What can I get you?
What kind of locally sourced cheese do you have?
We're not a big cheesery, but just got your regular old orange.
Okay.
Would you like...
Not really what I was hoping for.
Well, I'm sorry. I can go check in the back if that's something you want.
I'm okay for now.
Okay.
I'll have an ale, and also we're looking for... Uzumaki, we have something for her.
You have something for Uzumaki. She goes to pour your ale and anybody else who signals that they want one and brings them over and says, what do you have for Miss Uzu?
It's something from Vifreet.
Interesting. Okay. Well, here's your drinks. Anything else I can get you? I'll go let her know you're here and see what we can do for you.
Thank you.
Are you all right?
Am I all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I am fine.
Normally, people don't say that with a question mark at the end.
Sorry. I am fine.
I want to just glance around to see, like, if anyone is watching this interaction.
What's your passive perception?
My passive perception is 22.
Oh, yeah. It's reasonably busy. It's kind of midday, so you're a bit between lunch and dinner crowds. She's not looking to anyone in particular. There are a few people who look over to you, as you noticed as you entered, but nothing more than hearing the door open and seeing somebody enter and then giving you a once, you know, look up and down just because you're new in town or new to this, you know, they haven't been seen here before. As far as the room goes, like it's a darker lit tavern. There are finely woven tapestries, a couple paintings of the harbor and of the city. Nothing really to give away any sort of person or place, just landscapes and that sort of thing. You hear noise coming from the kitchen in the back. There's only one other doorway or passageway. It looks like a hallway kind of on the other side of the room from where the bar is.
Yeah, just kind of getting a sense that there's just a general unease about her.
Yep.
I'll just pat her hand. Perhaps get yourself a drink as well. Take the edge off.
Thank you. Thank you. I might have one. She hands you each your drinks and says, I'll try and find your cheese there too.
Oh, that'd be so great.
And she heads off and back down the one hallway, leaving you four there for a brief moment before she returns. If there's anything you would like to discuss separately.
I think I would just look at everyone and say, you know, unlike where we were a few days ago, we're going to see if we do, if we are able to get a meeting with the Hand. Many other things we may not like, but it won't be the same situation where we four can power our way through it. So very carefully pick your battles.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's entirely possible that we just have a bunch of people come out with weapons.
This is why I need you here, my friends. It just seems obvious I'm looking for a person. I ask for the person, but you're right. I'm hoping the Hand is more of a collective. Not terrible conditions, people doing what they want freely. Not like where we were with Vatir, but maybe I'll sit back a little and see. I'm not the best to lead negotiations.
Oh, you're just fine to lead negotiations. You did a great job, and I got to do something cool and new.
That was very cool.
Yes, very disturbing, too.
Yeah, had you done that before? Did you know that there was going to be, like, a zombie dude afterwards?
I didn't know. I tried it once before, long time ago. We didn't hang around for very long afterwards, so maybe that happened.
Oh, so there could just be some zombie running around.
Well, I mean, that is par for the... Oh, God. You don't think that one started...
Maybe from now on, we'll make sure that they're down for good before okay. Just moving on, yeah.
But, puts his head down, sits down. It's like, I don't think it was that one. Okay. You see the woman come back over, and she has in her hand a small, like, cloth-wrapped parcel. And she puts it down in front of you, Perseus. And you immediately smell it. It is a very fine, strong cheese.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Perseus, it's time to shine.
And I am ignoring whatever else is happening at this table now.
Miss Uzu, Uzumaki, she was expecting a delivery from Vafrit and would see you. I will take you back as soon as you're ready. No rush. Have your drinks, have your cheese. If there's anything else I can get you, and then we can be on with business.
I think we probably just wait while Perseus eats his cheese. He seemed pretty focused. We probably weren't going to go anywhere while that happened.
Okay.
While we're sitting there, does it seem like anyone is taking any notice of us any more than seems unusual. We are an unusual looking group.
You are a motley crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say no more than what you're used to walking into similar establishments, just based on the makeup of your group, an old lady, a tall, creepy dude, a piece together puzzle man, and a rattling.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
We're this world's Kiss.
Exactly. But yeah, no more than you would otherwise find in a neutral territory.
Great.
So you finish your cheese and she leads you down, back down this hallway, which turns into a series of hallways. And it's several minutes walking down before you realize that even if you had been paying attention to the direction, quickly, there's no way you can remember which direction you had come.
I suddenly have this thought in my head that I have a special ability that makes it so I always know where north is, and I don't know why I think that.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like something that Margaret
totally
would have.
Check so. Out. Yeah.
This is what happens when I only play D&D three times a year, and it's with all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, keen mind, you always know which way is north, and the number of hours left before the sun sets or rises.
All right. Well, you are... I can't trick you with my hallway puzzle, but everybody else, like, you get this, like... You know, you're tracking like lefts and rights as you go, but all the hallways and doors look identical. You see in past several paintings that you swear look like copies of ones you had passed previously. This set of hallways that she's walking you through give you the very distinct feeling that it's been designed this way so that people, once they're in, need to be led out. Otherwise, they are stuck there. Margaret, because of your ability to always, you know, your divining rod that you carry in your pocket, always know which way is north. So you have a better understanding. I'd say you'd have to get back out. You would not be at disadvantage to retrace your steps there for sure.
Okay.
So after several confusing minutes, the bartender opens a door and ushers you in to a warm office space, where you see a female elf seated at a modest desk surrounded by tomes and scrolls. There's a fire burning in a stove in the corner of the room that fills it with this hickory and orange smell.
I have to say, it's a little ironic that normally in, you know, my previous form, I would get the cheese after going through the maze, but this time I had it before.
The woman looks up and smiles and says, you are a different delivery group than previous. Please come in, have a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There has been some management changes at Vafreet's, so things may be different in your dealings with them in the future.
Oh, I look forward to learning more about that. My name is Uzumaki. You look at her, and she is in a hooded cloak. The hood is down. There are colorful spirals all over her cloak. She has very long, slender fingers. She's very pale, like porcelain skin almost. And she has just this soft, sweet smile as the bartender moves a few chairs from the side of the room so the four of you can sit on the one side of her desk. She says, you have a delivery for me.
Yes, and a request.
Oh, she's flipping open a ledger and just moving her finger down. She says, what is your request? And I'm sorry, your names were?
I'm Lex.
Oh, hi, Perseus here.
Margaret.
Yes, Arvid. Arvid is how you say that.
Of Innistrad.
I wasn't going to brag, but yes, of Innistrad. It's a pleasure to meet you all.
As I'm talking, I am going to put my bag down in front of me and start pulling out those two packages or whatever it is he gave us.
Yeah, it's the two packages and the ice elemental.
Right, of course.
Cooler bag.
Right.
she takes them from you and slides them across the desk, and you see her kind of make a note in her book beside a couple different lines, and she says, yes, this all checks out. Okay, what is it I can help you with?
We're looking for someone named Thelonious. Prim's...
something. Prim's friend? Prim's gown?
Her smile disappears.
You mean Thelonious Primsbane?
Oh, I was way off.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 78. Starring Carla Maxted as Lexington, Tom Laird as Perseus, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master, with guest Rev as Margaret Broadcloak. Find more from Rev at thecritshowpodcast.com. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound and Boom Library. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Mark Hartless, Stevie, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Aaron Stevens, Eric Houlihan, and Ray Serbeck. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Well, maybe it does. What's in it for me to remember a name?
Well, we're stumped.
Yeah, we have nothing to offer this person.
That's hilarious.
Just a long pause.
And then we can be on with business. I can't remember if that was the voice I was using. It was a little higher and not British. I'll recut that if it sounds weird.
I'm sure it's fine. We're all here and we don't remember what it sounded like.
Oh, I think she's been swapped out.
Yeah. It's a doppelganger. No.
That's why Margaret had an uneasy feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It happened in the quiet town of Podunk, an ages-old family mystery.
What happened with Great-Grandpa? Why won't you talk about it?
Because there's nothing to say, Nintendo.
Begets an unprecedented paranormal event.
Help, brother!
Poltergeists.
My lamp attacked me. It was hovering the air. It unplugged itself and came at me.
Mind control.
Why is that crow smoking a cigarette?
Okay, we're playing inside today.
Zombies.
I could have gotten out of here on my own.
You were hiding in a coffin.
It was a good disguise.
Extraterrestrials.
You've seen them too? I've been observing them for days.
I beat up aliens with my baseball bat.
Children with psychokinetic powers.
I let that little light of mine shine, Mama. And it melted the darkness away.
And that's just the beginning.
Introducing Mother, She Wrote, a travelogue diary through the biggest cult phenomena in video game history, the Mother series, as it's called in Japan, and Earthbound, as it's called everywhere else.
Each episode, we recount the story through immersive audio drama as it's lived by the characters, unpacking the surreal adventures, tear-jerking moments, and what it all means.
If you're new to the series, we'll take you beyond the controller and into the story.
And if you're a longtime fan, relive these tales like never before and learn fascinating new facts about your favorite games.
Find Mother, She Wrote on your favorite podcast player and at mothershewrote.earth.